for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday evening, December the 29th, 2014. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the evening, teaching on the mystery and revelation of Christ.
Come and bless us. I know you have a good word. I know you have a good word.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Please forgive my voice. I preached Sunday morning at my church in Texas, and I thought I started out doing real good. The longer it went, the less voice I had, but I'm going to believe God tonight.
Amen.
So I got Kleenex in my pocket and a bottle of water, and the Lord's going to help me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there's two things I'll say before I start. Sometimes I hear a sermon and I wonder, where is the gospel in that sermon? You understand what I'm saying? Where is the gospel? Another thing is, Jesus said the Holy Spirit in John 16, the Holy Spirit came to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. If I'm preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit, then there ought to be conviction. You understand? There ought to be conviction. And if there's no conviction, then am I preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit, or am I doing something else? Another place he said, cry aloud, you know, and show my people their sins. I know that's not popular, but I'm not preaching on that line tonight. But where is the gospel? And Father, we ask for your help tonight, strength in this physical body, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you know it is a great price for me to get here and for others here, Father. Praise God. You have given an effectual open door, but there are many adversaries. But praise God, Lord, victory, victory, victory is yours. And we thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Praise God. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the mystery of the revelation of Christ. The mystery of the revelation of Christ. And we'll begin in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. And this is Apostle Paul speaking. He said, wherefore I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. What is that mystery? To whom God would or desires to make known what is the riches of the glory. Now the term glory there means revelation. The riches of the revelation of this mystery, the manifesting of this mystery among the Gentiles. And here's the answer. Which is Christ in you? Which is Christ in you? Now I know that we encourage people that invite Jesus into your heart. And I want to be careful saying this, but you can say a lot of things and nothing happened. There is an inviting Christ in, saying the sinner's prayer, all those things they want you to do. And it can be a beginning, but it's not everything. And but he said it is Christ in you, and that's what we want to talk about tonight, is Christ in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we don't have him in us, we have no hope of glory. I don't care how much you shout down the middle aisle, fall out the floor, give to in the offering. If you don't have Christ in you, you don't have the hope of glory. You can preach, you can teach, you can sing, but if you don't have Christ in you, praise God, then we don't have the hope of glory. And we'll see a little later in some scriptures here. Verse 48, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature or complete in Christ Jesus. And that is the purpose of preaching and teaching, is to present everyone that's listening to us as perfect in Christ Jesus, or mature in Christ. It's all about Jesus.
Yes.
It's all about Jesus, praise God, and our relationship to Him. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to this working which works in me mightily. You know, I've been in the ministry a long time, pastoring the same church for 36 years and serving on the sectional committee. Hearing other ministers dealing with them, dealing with churches. And it's amazing sometimes what all this labor is about. And sometimes it's a business is what it is. It's laboring for a business, and it's a profession, it's a job, and it brings in the money. And but he said, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Is he working in you mightily tonight? Oh, praise God. Is he going to wake you up in the night and talk to you? Are you going to start to put your hand on something and he says, don't touch it? Is your mind going in the direction he says, bring it back? Bring it back. Working in you mightily. Again, I want to say, all the mighty working of God is not to get blessed. Or to get money. Or, you know, all this stuff that so much is being taught. Now, what should our focus as individuals and a church be on? What should our focus be on? Every individual, every ministry and church has its own niche or focus. They all do. Some say we're a healing church. We're a deliverance church. We're a salvation church. An evangelizing church. A worship church. A Bible church. Come here, we preach the truth. Nobody else does. A social activist church. You know what that is. Meeting the needs of the community. A political church. I mean, it's all about politics and how this nation's going down the tubes. And it may be a church for families. You know, the so-and-so family church or family worship center. And obviously when I hear family worship center, what do you mean you're worshiping the family? A singles or a recovery church, all about recovery. So on and so on, you know. You got to find your niche. Sometimes we're told, find a need in the community and fill it. You know, do a survey. I don't want to get into all that, but what is our focus? 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, for I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I want to know. That's all I want to come preach. I'm not going to come preach about prosperity. I'm not going to come preach about successful living, your best life now. Somebody wrote a book about that. I'm not going to come and do all that. I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ, because it's all about Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to know anything. I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now this speaks of the revelation of Christ, is what it's talking about. In John 17, verse 3, Jesus speaking. Oh, I love that chapter, John 17. In fact, the book of John is my favorite book of the Bible. It's so different, you know, it's so deep. And you know how, this is my opinion, why it's so deep? Because he was the closest to Jesus. See, the closer you get to Jesus, the deeper you get. I mean, he's leaning on his breast. And the others can get jealous if they wanted to. Peter was jealous, but hey, there he is. You want to lean on his breast? Get with it, you know. Praise God. Now, here's heartbeat, praise God. Verse 3, and this is eternal life. Not a mansion on a hilltop with streets of gold. This is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If somebody asks you what eternal life is, it's not, hey, I don't have to go to hell. But eternal life is knowing Him. If you think it's about all the things that we're told about heaven, you know, eternity, you know, floating around on a cloud, playing a harp or whatever. But it's to know Him. That's eternal life. And by the way, eternal life starts now, in this life. Because we know Him now. And in a sense, it doesn't matter where I'm at, what state I'm in, I can be content if I know Him.
Amen.
If I'm knowing and coming into knowing Him greater. That's just not a knowing about. I've got to clarify that. Not just a knowing about. But knowing Christ. You know, there's two kinds of people. I say this, there could be three, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but sitting on the church pew or in these seats tonight, I'm going to tell you, we're divided. There's people that know about Him, and there's people that know Him.
Yes. Yes.
And guess which one's in the minority? It's the ones that know Him.
Yes.
And I'll say this, if you know Him, if you really know Him, you're knowing Him, you have that relationship ongoing, up to date, ever-increasing relationship with Him, you know who doesn't know Him. Now, it's always amazed me, people that smoke and hide their smoking. And they think nobody knows. But see, if you don't smoke, you know. You know what I'm saying? You know. But they don't know because they smell it all the time. But if you know Him, then you know those that know Him. You know Him. He's spirit-bearing witness. This person knows. How many times has someone asked you, said, there's something different about you? I've been places and people say, I don't go around, I don't have a little pail pin, you know, or a sticker on my car or something. But they'll say, there's something different about you. And especially if they belong to the Lord. It's just a connection, isn't it? It's a connection. It's not about what they say. It's not because they go around and say, oh, praise the Lord, you know, or something. But there's a spirit. Woo! There's a bond in the spirit.
Amen.
Now, and if we know Him, then Jesus said we know the Father also. Now, the word know is a Jewish expression for intimacy between a man and a woman. That's what it means. Adam knew Eve. You know, it's not shake your hand, I know you, old, glad to meet you, but intimacy. The word also means, know also means a knowledge grounded on personal experience or to experience Christ. Experience Him. Folks, there's a world of difference between saying a sinner's prayer and experiencing Christ. There's a world of difference. It's a good start, but it can only be the start. Now, does it matter whether or not we know Christ? Does it matter? In 2 Thessalonians 1:8, Scripture says, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God. Know not God. Seriously, God, if you don't know Him. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say, know not the scriptures, the doctrine of the church, all the things you know, just all this stuff we can know. You can even be that way about deliverance. You can know all the names of the devils, demons. You can know who's got what and what to do about it. But it doesn't say that. I'm just saying here we are this campus, and the other people are something else that are over here, you know, and they know all these things. But that's not what he's talking about here. Know not God. Do they know God? And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. True obedience can only be possible if we truly know Him, or we're knowing Him. We must know someone to obey Him. Our error will certainly come in. Someone gives you instructions. I've worked, you know, many years on the job. And the Lord taught me something. I was always in conflict with my manager. I knew what I was supposed to do on that job. But he'd come and tell me to come over here and do this, and then my job wasn't getting done, and sometimes I got rebellious. I worked in a grocery store for 18 years, Safeway. Some of you know what Safeway is. I worked there for 18 years, and so I was always having to be up front checking or doing something else, and I was in charge of the dairy. Well, when the district manager leaves one store, they call the other store, he's coming your way, ready, you know. So they warn them, you know. So the assistant manager there, and he'd come up there and want me to go back there and do something with that. Garret counter is blown out, you know, that wouldn't look good. And I was just rebellious. I just stayed up there and kept checking. You know, that's the kind of attitude I had. Well, I went to other stores, different places, and finally I was at one, and I didn't get along with that manager. And you can tell why, because I was rebellious, you know. And the Lord told me one time, he said, if he wants you to stand on your head in the corner for 8 hours, and you need this job, just get on your head in the corner and shut up. And he also told me this, he said, find out what that man wants and do it. That's all. Find out what he wants to do. You're working for him. And that's why I'm saying, if we don't know this God, we can know what that Bible says and so misinterpret it. Because look, most of us interpret it exactly like we want it. What we make our own Christ, we create our own Christ, we create our own Bible, we write our own Bible, our own doctrine that fits us, that makes us comfortable, that fits into our situation. But when we know him and we know his character, we know what he wants and what he doesn't want. I tell you, when I start to do something and that I shouldn't do, I feel, whoo, you know.
Amen.
And if I want to just be rebellious and go ahead and do it, I'm going to suffer. I'll grieve the Holy Spirit. And it's not good to grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, it's go back to go and start over again. Now, knowing or not knowing Christ is a dividing line. In 1 John 4:6, he says, we are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's a great confidence. If I know Christ, I know him. And I know I'm saying what I'm supposed to say. And if all y'all gotta walk out, it's not gonna bother me. You know, you need to turn the chairs upside down and know something. It's not going to bother me. Because this is what he's saying here. If you're of Christ and I'm saying what's from him, then you're going to hear me. But if you're not of Christ and I know I am, then you're not going to hear me. One time, those who heard me enough here, I talk a lot about B.H. Clendon and from Beaumont, Texas. He's passed away. He was about 80, almost 88 when he did. But he talked about one time in his church, he stood up and started preaching, 60 people got up and walked out. They had it all planned, you know. Just got up and walked out. And made a statement. And, I've had people make a statement. Slam the back door. And part of the deal, you know. Get up and grab their kids and, oh, make a deal. You know, make a show. They couldn't get, and all that. He said, by the way, they all came back, he said. And when they came back, he'd meet them at the door and he'd say, that same devil you thought was here before is still here, meaning the cell. You can't play games with people, folks. You're trying to get them to heaven.
Yeah,
you know?
Man, right.
We're to rebuke, reprove with all long suffering. That's what the pastor's supposed to do. When I first came to the church there, I preached a sermon on that. I tell you, I made some women mad in that. I'm not picking on women. I'm just saying, I made them mad. They got, no, you're not supposed to rebuke us or reprove us. Oh, yes, I am. And I'm not trying. You know, it's not a, it's because you care. It's because you love someone. That's why parents, we're supposed to reprove, rebuke our children. You know, we love them. That's why God rebukes us and reproves us, because he loves us. Hallelujah. But, now, he made a statement. He said it used to bother him, and he worried was, am I making this message plain enough that they can understand me? You know what? A lot of the he talked about, a lot of the modern translations read like a newspaper or a novel or something, just an interesting novel, so everybody can understand it. He said, no, it doesn't work that way, and this is the truth. It doesn't work that way. Praise God, read that old King James with the these and the thous. And you know what? If they are of the truth, they'll understand what it says. You don't have to make it where a little child can understand. Brother Dan was telling me last night, the message last night, his when they got home, his little bitty children were knew what they were talking about, what he said. Brother Pittman, what he said last night. They were listening. They heard what he said. Praise God. It were of the truth. Of the truth. Now, so, he that knows God hears us. If you're in here tonight, you're a pastor or a minister. Don't worry about whether they come or they don't come. We don't have to put on a drama or entertainment to get them to come. Or bribe them into the church with a hamburger and hot dog. Or whatever to get them to come. The Lord showed me this a long time. You know what? There's got to be something that separates in this thing. There has to be something separating. I mean, it's bad enough that while they slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares. Why are we going to try to pull the tares in? Oh, we need, this church needs to grow. Really? Really? Does it really need to? Where's that in the scripture? It's his business. He said he'll build his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He said he adds to the church daily such as should be saved. And it says he gives the increase. Let him do it. When I first went to that church, it's not the first church I pastored, but I first went there, I was out knocking doors. You know, that's what they tell you to do with knocking those doors. And I'm passing out stuff and trying to get people. That's all I thought. I mean, the pastor, I thought was your whole job to see how many people you get in that building. If you got it full, then you build a bigger one. See, I mean, you get in there and then build a bigger one, and when it's full, and that's the whole thing. And I was out knocking those doors, and the Lord spoke and said, "What are you doing?" "What do you think I'm doing?" I said, "Lord, I'm trying to get people to come to church." You know what he said to me? I said, "I'll build my church. Why are you trying to?" That's exactly what he told me. It's a wake up, you know. He had to really change some things in my thinking. Really change a lot of things. Amen. You know, it's even like, I was helping Dan unfog the toilet in our room last night when I got here. I mean, it flooded. I hope nobody's underneath this, but it flooded. And, I said, well, I'm the plumber of the church. I'm the electrician. I'm the, a lot of things, you know. It's okay. Hey, you know, I can even change commodes out, you know, take one out, put another one in. That's okay. All that kind of thing. But it's okay to be all those things, to do those things that you need to do for the Lord. And praise God. Knowing Him, and people, those that know Him are going to hear you. I don't know where I was going with that, so forget it. It becomes, just fill in the blanks. Praise God. Figure out your own thing. All right, praise God, where are we at? Why is the revelation of Christ important? Colossians 2:10. And when I listen to that, probably when I listen to this tape, I'll remember what it was. But you're complete in Him, Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. That is one of the most powerful statements in the Bible. You are complete in Christ. Our church owns a little store. Oh, I know. Now, here it comes. I also was a lawn care person, you know. And the Lord was dealing with me. We had bought some property next to our church. When I went there in 1978, that's a long time ago, and we had a half an acre, almost half. People on both sides kept moving the fence in. And there's an outhouse. Our restroom was out by the back fence. And no running water, no air conditioning, no insulation. In the summer, you could not stay in there in the afternoon. So that's an all kind of, it's just, you couldn't believe it. My parents came to visit, and when they left, they said, this is nice, but we hope you hurry up and get a real church. That's what they told me. Praise God. But I knew God sent me there. I didn't think it's fair, but I knew He sent me there. Hey, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I already pastored one little church, and it's my turn to have a bigger one. You know, God has a way to work on you, though. I disobeyed God. That's why I was in the mess I was in. I went somewhere I wasn't supposed to go, right, under pressure.
Right.
And I was, one Sunday morning, I was preaching at a church up near the Red River there in Texas. And they had Sunday school in one corner and Sunday school in the other corner. It's a small church. And then between Sunday school and church happened, got up and left. I thought, it can't be because I'm here. They don't know me from anybody. But it wasn't very encouraging. And they decided for some reason to move the piano. And when they moved it, they gasped. I mean, this almost screamed. Termites were in the piano. That's a bad place for termites to be, you know, in the piano. And, but you know what? I was there and I said, Lord, I want to pastor a church so bad again. I'd already pastored, but I want to pastor a church so bad, so much, so good, whatever it is. I said, Lord, I'll take one just like this. He had me where he wanted me. He had me there. Well, so we bought this property, and the first thing, we needed parking. Seriously needed parking. I mean, the church is full, but that wasn't saying much, you know. It's kind of small. And so I was on my tractor, and I was spreading the rock out on Saturday. And the Lord spoke and said, what are you going to show people tomorrow? This rock or something out of my word? That's exactly what he told me. I don't know. He doesn't talk very freely to me sometimes, does he? Well, I tried to learn that lesson, and the grass needed mowing. I mean, the grass needed mowing. But I determined God first, grass later, whatever, you know. We had one pastor that he wouldn't do anything around his church, and we tried to talk to him. And he said, well, the men in this church want this lawn mowed, they can just get their butts up here and mow it themselves. That's exactly what he said. But I hope it didn't offend anybody. But so I was there and I said, no, Lord, I'm going to stay in here. You didn't know pastors talk about their people like that, did you? I heard one just recently. We was in a meeting. You know what he said? He said, I love pastors, but I can't stand the people. Why are you pastoring? I'm serious. I'm not lying to you. I heard it with these ears. And I can hear good. But, so I said, no, I'm going to seek God. So I was in the little office. I made a little office in that old building. I was laying on the floor praying. That's my best position. Laying on the floor praying. And I heard something. You know, I said, what is that? And I got peeked out the window. The neighbor across the road went to the Baptist church, so they're mowing our lawn. I obeyed God. I was seeking God, and he came and mowed the lawn. Only time he ever did, but he mowed the lawn, praise God. Now, let's get back to this. Completing Christ. That's it. That's everything right there. We're completing Christ. If you or I are trying to be complete in anything or anyone else but Christ, we're missing it. It's all about Jesus. That's why you were saved. I was saved. That's what we're called to. That's what, I don't know what we think it's about, but it's about him. And we're complete in him. Listen, there's nothing outside of Christ whereby we can become complete. Nothing outside of him. There's nothing that we can add to Christ to make us complete. That was the whole thing there in the Garden of Eden. Eve, you need this to be complete. You're not complete in Christ. That's the whole thing. And that's what he's going to try to work on you and me constantly. Constantly.
Yeah.
You need this job. You need this car. You need this house. You need this education. You need this. You need that person. You need. But we're complete in Christ. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them, they're called according to his purpose. It's a wonderful verse. Okay, the motor blew up in my truck. That means I'm probably going to get a brand new. All things work together for good. I lost that job. I'm about to get one that pays twice as much. No, you may be walking. And you may be on unemployment for a while, if you can get it. Because that's not his purpose. To make your life better. I'm sorry. You know, God, don't you love me? Why aren't you taking care of me? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? See, the whole, one reason we have so much conflict is because we don't understand what God's trying to do with us. We've been told that it's all about, he's the genie in the lamp, you rub it hard enough, he'll come out and ask you what you want. That if we just tell him how high to jump and he'll do it. Verse 29, we need to know what the purpose is. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The whole purpose of God in working in your life and my life is that we become like Christ. We become what he is. And if we can understand that, we won't be so confused, disappointed. And that's what we need to tell people when we're talking to them about becoming a Christian. Not tell them all this stuff that they're being told. Don't you want to go to heaven? You don't want to go to hell, do you? We need to tell them, you want to become like Christ in every way. Do you want to die to yourself and come alive to him? There's so much in that even. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and that's knowing him, to a perfect man or complete mature man, woman, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 15, that we may grow up into him, Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's what it's all about, growing up into Christ. How are you doing on that? How are you doing on that? Is this thing all about getting stuff? Everybody treating you right? You know, I got a big brother, if you don't treat me right, I'm going to tell him. Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Because that's what it's like, childbirth. The pains of Christ being formed in us. Like a baby formed in a woman's womb. 2 Corinthians 3:18, oh, this is a powerful one here. But they're all, but this, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass or mirror the glory of the Lord, the revelation of the Lord, we're seeing them, are changed in the same image. Oh, praise God. Change. I try so hard to be like Jesus. It's just not working. I went to that discipleship class, graduated, and got the diploma. But I'm still... You can't get this in the discipleship class. And I'm just about sick of these discipleship classes. Like Brother Clinton said, just teaching a sinner how to act like a Christian. They're still a sinner. Only seeing Christ inwardly as the Holy Spirit reveals him in you is the only way we'll ever change to be like him. Changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There are three kinds of people in this world. Those that don't know Christ, those that know about Christ, and those that know Christ. How do we know Christ? In Galatians 1:11, this is what the Apostle Paul said about his own experience. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, or I didn't get it from man. Oh, praise God. I didn't go to seminary. I went to Bible school, but I tell you what, I can honestly stand here and tell you, I've learned more just being in that Word.
Amen.
And let the Holy Spirit reveal it to me.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit wrote that Word, and he's the only one that can open it up to you. I'm here, I'm preaching to you, but I can tell you, you're interpreted as you want it interpreted, unless the Holy Spirit's doing it. I can preach about holiness, and some people will think how long the sleeve is and how long the hair is. Somebody else over there, their interpreted is inwardly, you know. Or somebody else interpreted how you treat somebody. All that kind of thing. Excuse me. It's water break. If y'all have one, you can get a drink too. Alright, I neither received it a man, neither was I taught it. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you know this is in the Bible? Some of this is in the Bible.
Yes.
But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. How did you get that revelation? For you have heard of my conversation, that means lifestyle, in time past in Jews' religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And he did. and prompted in the Jews' religion above my own equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. Now listen to this. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, his divine power, to reveal his son in me. To reveal his son in me. Is that happening with you? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem, you know, to the seminary, to them which were the apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Do you see how he learned Christ? The man that hated Christ, how he learned Christ? Of course, it began there on that road to Damascus. If God doesn't make this real to us tonight, folks, there's something he's trying to say to us, the revelation of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Now, there are three levels of the revelation of Christ to knowing Christ. John 14:16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Listen to this, even the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. That's the first one. Sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells, number two, with you, and shall be, number three, in you. Don't know him at all, with you, and the greatest level in you is in you. In you. Christ coming in the flesh meant God with us. You know that. The Holy Spirit sent down from heaven means Christ in us. Now, in this scripture about, is this scripture about the Holy Spirit, about Christ? Some people believe that we might be putting too much emphasis on the Holy Spirit, we might be putting too much emphasis on it. Well, let's look at this. Is this about the Holy Spirit, or is it about Christ? John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Whatsoever I have said to you. Now you know that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The whole Bible is Christ. When we talk about the Word being choked, it means Christ being choked out of our life by the cares of life, deceitfulness of riches, and so forth. In John 15:26, but when the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, has come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 16:12, I have, Jesus speaking, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That's true of all of us, right? There's so many things right now that we cannot bear yet. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And what is truth? Who is truth? Christ is truth. Christ is truth. For he shall not speak of himself or out of himself. This is like Jesus said, I don't speak of myself, but what I hear the Father say. But whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall show you things to come. Is that happening in our lives? He shall glorify me, or reveal me, or express me, or manifest me, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore, said I, he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. It is impossible to know Christ outside of the revelation of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You cannot know Christ unless the Holy Spirit is revealing him in you, to you and in you. It's impossible. There's no other way. Now you say, well, I sin under a preacher. Yes, but unless the Holy Spirit is taking that preaching, if it's gospel, and revealing it to you. Now, it's not a mental picture or visualizing Christ, but learning his name. One time our church operated a camp for about 13 years, and this particular person was leading worship that night, and the person said, I want everybody to close your eyes now. Just get a picture of Jesus in your mind. And visualize what Jesus looks like and worship. that image. That's called visualization, and we don't believe in it. I don't think you do. We're not talking about that kind of thing. It's not talking about getting a picture of it, because if most of us did, we'd see that painting with Christ. You know, that's what we'd have. It's not talking about a visual image. There's a reason why the scripture didn't describe Christ's looks, you know, except to say that he was no one that we should desire. There's a reason it didn't tell us what color his hair was, how tall he was, and all that, you know. There's a reason for that. Now, it was only by the Holy Spirit that the Father revealed Christ in the Apostle Paul. This is why it's essential that the Holy Spirit live in us, meaning that we are filled with and full of the Holy Ghost. We have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus went away. Romans 8, 9, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, he's none of his. He's not. I don't care who you are, what you are. 2 Corinthians 3, 18 again, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and change the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now it was only because of the Apostle Paul was in the Spirit on the Lord's day that he heard and saw Christ. Revelation 1, 10. You want to see him? Get in the Spirit. You want to see him? Take time to get in the Spirit. I'm too busy. I got brothers you just don't know what all I got to do. Well, you're too busy. And you planned it that way. And you don't have to be. And to say you do is a lie. We do what we want to do. It's no longer a knowing Christ after the flesh, but by the Holy Spirit. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, Jesus speaking, it's expedient or best for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. What's he going to do when he gets here? He's going to make me better. Well, he will do that, but he's going to reveal Christ in you. That's the only way we're going to know him now. Praise God. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore, from now on, knowing no man after the flesh, and that's when we get in trouble, knowing people after the flesh. That's where stuff comes in the church, shouldn't be in the church. Somebody cheating with somebody else's wife, maybe the pastor, I don't know. That's where, knowing people after the flesh. Yeah. Every time you feel yourself beginning to know somebody after the flesh, you better back off. Yeah. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, from now on, know we him no more. We don't know him that way anymore. You know, he talked about our hands have handled him. We've seen him with our eyes, but we don't know him that way anymore. And Jesus planned it that way. He said, that's why I'm going away. I'm going to go away so the Holy Spirit can reveal me in you. Praise God. It's a scary world. I was in the hospital last week, and my wife in the hospital, and a lady came in to clean in there, and I thought, man, I know her. Finally, I said, I know you from somewhere. I said, oh, yeah, I've been to your church. And then she married this guy that we used to bring to church when he was a little boy, him and his mother. But this is not his first, they only been married a while. I said, well, how's the family? And so she was telling me about one, his name's Jerry. He was in our school for a while, our church, our Christian school. But they took him out because they didn't want to pay the money. And she said, well, all but him, and he's in prison now. And I thought, I would have never thought that. Then I got on the elevator, and this guy was there, and I think I know this kid. He's standing there with a kid. I said, is that your son? He said, oh, yeah. And like I was supposed to know, he told me his name, you know, but he's, see, I don't change that much, probably, but these kids grow up, and I don't know them. And I was looking, look at these children in here, God forbid, but if God doesn't help, they're going to be on drugs. They're going to be alcoholics. They're going to be looking at pornography. They're going to mess up in their marriage. You understand? Just walk through Walmart and look at all those sweet little kids. And understand, in this country, if God doesn't intervene, maybe half of them or more are going to be messed up. That's the world we're living in. You parents raising these sweet little children, understand something. If God doesn't help, you're going to be looking at them through bars. Or dead. They're going to call you and tell you. My youngest son, the Lord showed me one time I had a vision of seeing him through bars. That's right. And God was warning me I better tighten up on that boy. And I did. And he's never, none of them ever been in jail, but God gave me a warning. I'm telling you, it's a scary world. When we see church people, supposed to be Christians, do we understand that most of them will never in this life know Christ in any greater capacity than after the flesh? That's all they'll ever know. It's sad. And I'm going to tell you again, if you know Christ, if you're knowing Him, then you know who's knowing Him. I'm not saying that some kind of wrong way. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. See, the Holy Spirit will teach us Christ. Every person who's ever lived belongs to at least one of these three levels of categories of revelation, the revelation of Christ. These revelations are no revelations, outward revelations, and inward revelations. There's a young man years ago, and he stood up in the church and told us he was drunk. He's in his truck riding there. He had a wreck, but Jesus was in the truck with him. So he came to church. Because Jesus is in the truck with him. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that he saw the Lord. And the Lord was drawing. But as far as I know, he's so far out there now. I'm going to tell you why. Because a vision of Jesus is not going to save you. You understand that? It's an outward revelation. It's not going to change you. Teaching is not going to change us. Preaching is not going to change us. It can convict us. It can do a lot of things, but it's not going to change us. Praise God. These revelations always come in this order. First, there is no revelation of Christ. Then the possibility of outward revelations of Christ that should lead to inward revelations. And if there are outward revelations of Christ, those outward revelations, they can lead, as I said, to the inward revelations of Christ. Only the inward revelation of Christ, Christ being revealed in us, can change us or change a person in the likeness of Christ. There is nothing else that can. Is it happening in us? Now, if we consider those who have only the outward revelations of Christ or Christ with them or unto them revelations, these are the ones that know about Christ, but they don't know Christ. They know about Jesus through preaching, teaching, reading the Bible, prophecies, word of wisdom or knowledge, gifts of the Spirit, dreams, visions, signs, miracles, wonders, deliverance from trouble, all kinds of things. But they don't have the inward revelation. All of these are outward revelations of Christ. They are unto or with a person revelations, but they're not inward revelations. This is how the disciples knew Jesus until after the day of Pentecost. And that's why they were such a mess. That's why they denied Him. They ran. They were fussing over who's going to be the greatest. They didn't understand. They thought that the kingdom was going to come in a physical way right then, even when He's about to be caught up into heaven. Is it time for us to take over this thing? Not until the Holy Ghost came down from heaven and filled Him did they begin to understand what the kingdom of God was even about. Praise God. John 10:4. And when He puts forth His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but flee from Him, for they know not the voice of strangers. How can we possibly know His voice if we don't know Him? How can we? Matthew 7:21. Jesus speaking, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. How can we do His will if we can't hear His voice and we don't know Him? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name? And in Your name have cast out devils? And in Your name done many wonderful works? I'm not up to that. I don't know about you. And then when I profess to Him, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. iniquity is lawlessness, but it's all referring back to, listen, unless he knows us, then we're not his sheep, and we cannot know his voice. God only knows those that know him. You can find that in Numbers 16:5, Nahum 1:7, John 10:14, 2 Timothy 2:19. I'll put it this way. The devil doesn't know you unless God knows you. And if the devil doesn't know you, God doesn't know you, you're a nothing. We are a non-entity. This is that scary. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, dear Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. I don't know about you, but I know I have that witness. And it comes regular, folks. Sometimes it just comes. That sweet presence in here. Like a fire inside. It's, ooh, you know, just filling you up. There it is, praise God. I'm not alone, I'm never alone. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. His presence, his presence, his presence. Hallelujah. The Spirit bearing witness is beautiful. It's all about our becoming one with him, by him being in us and us in him. John 17:22, and the glory which you gave me I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, Christ speaking, that we may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I will that they also whom you have given me. See, nobody can get saved unless God the Father gives us to Christ. It's by invitation only. Be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. That's not talking about in eternity. That's talking about right now. Be with him right now. He said, wherever I am, my disciples will be there. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I've known you, and these have known that you have sent me. Watch, he's careful what he says here. And I've declared it in your name, and will declare that the love which you have loved me, you have loved me, they may be in them and I in them. Here's some more scriptures. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 4:19. Until Christ be formed in you. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell or live in your hearts. 2 Corinthians 4:10, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest or revealed in our body. John 17:10, I am glorified or revealed in them. John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet, our orphans, I will come to you. Yet a little while the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live, you shall live also. Now that's not saying, okay, I'm going to die on the cross, and then I'm going to rise from the dead for, 10 days, you'll see me, and then, no, he's talking about now. Now, by the Holy Spirit, we're seeing. Are you seeing him?
Yeah.
Is it being revealed in you now? Is it happening? Are you going to lay your head down on the pillow and not see? Praise God. Not with these eyes. I don't even know if I trust too much what these eyes see. At that day, you shall know that I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, I will manifest myself to him. Oneness with Christ is our only hope of being a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, wherefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Now I'm gonna admit something to you. I believe the Lord has shown me and taught me what it means for Christ to be in me. But I am still trying to understand what it means to be in Christ. And before you think you know the answer, just hold on. What it really means for us to be in him. You will never be in him till he's in you. It's a process, folks. It's a process. It begins with the revelation of Christ in us, thereby changing us so that we can come into Christ in all things. See, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. And we go to these discipleship classes, and we go to counseling, and we go to deliverance session, and we try to do better, and this and that, and we're still an old preacher. And old things are still there. What's wrong? What's wrong? We're not in Christ, that's what's wrong. Because if you're in Christ, that stuff stops. You're different. You're changed. Not overnight, but it begins with Him being in you. And then as He's in you and being formed in you, we can come into Him. That's all I'm going to tell you. Praise God. Let me get a drink here, and then I want to tell you something. I hope it's all right for me to tell you. I shared this with some people, and the Lord corrected me. But I think it'd be all right. I worked on a job, as I told you, and I'd get off. I'd go to work at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I got up at 2 so I could pray and seek God and go get ready to go to work. On the way home, I'd come by that old church building I was telling you got built in 1938. And I'd come by there, and I'd try to seek God. But I didn't know God yet. I didn't know Him yet. I could speak in tongues, give a message in tongues, interpret a message in tongues. I didn't do all that. I just had to tell you I didn't know God. I already read to you where they said we cast out devils and we did miracles. I don't know you. And Neil David Wilkerson said that he had those, you know, most of you are familiar with him, right? And he had those great campaigns and thousands come to Christ and all. And I've heard him preach this. He said, but it was my heart wasn't right. And that book's back there, Christian Complete Armor, the big one, Gennard. And what's his name? Leonard Ray McGill was a neighbor there in Lindale, Texas. And so he took that book and said, here, read this, to David Wilson. He opened up and said, who can read this? And put it away somewhere. Well, God knows how. And he came to a crisis time in his life. He said he laid on the bus, the floor of the bus, you know, his travel bus, because he's afraid to fly. He laid on that bus and he had to open that up and start reading it. And as he read it, I said, oh my, this man knows God. I don't know God. I don't know God like this man knows God. He was so impressed. Right next to it, you'll see it in 3 volumes where he had it abridged and made it where we can read it easier because it's written in Old English. That's how impressed he was with Christian in Complete Armor. He said, it's like I wasn't even saved before. I wasn't even saved. I'm doing all this. I wasn't even saved. That's how you feel when you finally, I just want to tell you, if you can find God, if you can begin to know Him, it'll be like you weren't even saved. And like all that stuff you were doing is just stuff. So I'd come by and I'd go in there and lock the door, you know, and walk around that. We just had a middle aisle pew shoved up against, so it was only 26 foot wide. And I'd try to pray and nothing. So I'd start to go home, and sometimes the Holy Spirit said, why don't you just try a little longer? Okay, try a little more. Maybe I'd get blessed a little, you know, dance around a little bit. I mean, I'd dance when nobody's looking. But, and the Holy Ghost comes on me. But, then we had that camp, and it was on a Friday, and something came over me I never had before in my life, never experienced. I mean, prayer. I mean, not these prayers we pray, but prayer, you know, something. I went back in the woods, and I just poured my heart out. I've never done that before in my life. I do stuff when I was in trouble or whatever, but, you know, this is different. And, finally, I heard him calling me on the loudspeaker, Brother Benson, where are you? You know. And I went back. I couldn't talk to anybody. I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. And I thought, I don't know what this is, but something. That night we had the greatest service we ever had. But, well, about 2 or 3 weeks later, I'd get up on Sunday morning, and I'd go up to church to seek God. And I laid down on the, we had green carpet down the middle aisle. And, I've asked the Lord, help me not to stray too much. I would stay with this. And I was just laying there, minding my own business, just prayer. And all of a sudden, I'm laying still, not moving a muscle. And something, a wave starts at my head and goes to my feet. I can almost see it. Ooh, like this, you know. Y'all think I'm crazy?
No.
I mean something. Whoa, what is this? I might have owned this. I did. What is this? It was glorious, I can tell you that much. It was in me. It wasn't on me. I wasn't shouting, hooping, hollering, carrying on, which is good. It's wonderful. Get with it. But this is different. It, God was doing it. I wasn't doing anything. It was so good, and it was just in me. Finally, I knew I had to get up and go home and get ready for church. I walked home, and it was still there. It changed my life, folks. That morning changed my life. I probably wouldn't be standing here tonight. I'm not saying it fixed everything. God's had to do a lot of things with me. It's still doing. But I met God that morning. I mean, I met Him that morning. And it's never been... So I said, I have more of this. So I went, how did I do it? Okay, I was laying on my back. That's how you do it. Laying on your back. So I'd go up there and I'd lock the door, you know, and lay on my back. I say, here I am, Lord. Come. And you know, He would. Woo, glory. He'd come. And I don't know if this sounds selfish to you or not, but praise God, it sure is good. It was and it is. And He came. Well, then one time He didn't come. Now, let me say this. I was having visions. I saw one time a glorious light coming down. And I felt like I needed to cover up. And then I remembered Isaiah, you know, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He said, whoa, it's me. I felt like I need to hide. One time I had a vision. I had a chest of precious jewels and all in my chest. And it was just shining. I wanted to cover up so nobody else could see it. There, I have a book on there, Christ Inwardly, and it has a chest like I tried to envision. That's what the book's about. I'm not trying to sell the book, but I'm just telling you that. And these things are happening. But then one day it didn't happen. So, whoa, now what have I done, God? That's a person. When you start experiencing God, if you want to continue, there's one thing you'll do. When He puts His finger on something, you'll stop. Because you don't want to miss Him. You don't want to ruin, mess up. This is like with your wife. You don't want to do this and that. Or she's not going to cook your favorite food. Or she's not going to kiss you. Or she's something, you know. And it's just, it's the only way I know to express it. Because, listen, we're the bride of Christ. And we're a spouse to Him. Amen. Read the Song of Solomon. And, in fact, Dr. Oliver, C.R. Oliver has a book. Solomon's Secret, awesome. I don't know if y'all still have any copies here or not, but awesome book. And, but it was a long time, and finally one time I was in there and He came. This is a week and a half. And He came, and I said, God, why didn't you come all those other times? He goes, I just want you to know I'm not like a nominal regular. You can turn me on, turn me off. I'll come when I want to, praise God. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world, folks. I wouldn't trade it. Oh, hallelujah. I don't have to work anything up. But the main thing, I'm seeing Him. See, He's been revealed in me. And in 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we behold Him, we're changed in the same image. From glory to revelation to revelation is by the Spirit. A little at a time, we're being changed. Seeing Him has the power to change you. You see what He is. You see what you are, and oh my goodness, look what I am. And now I have a choice. I can correct this and be what He is, or I can be rebellious and stay what I am. You'll change. Amen. Praise God. Stand with me, please. Again, I apologize for my voice. Thank God for my voice. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I'm just asking You tonight, Father, that this whole congregation, Lord, that we'd see Christ in with Him. You'd reveal Yourself. That's what You said is all about. That's what Paul said. It pleased the Father who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal His Son in me. Oh, thank You, Lord. I'm so glad to be part of that. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Who cares about building a great church? Who cares about being the big preacher? Who cares about the bigger house in the better neighborhood? That's not why we're here, folks. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Just love you tonight. Just love you. Let him shed his love abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord, bless your name, bless your name, bless your name, bless your name. You're the great I am, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God, hallelujah, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is why he came, folks, this is why he came, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can continue to worship God. If there's something more prayer, if you just come and stand across the front and come by, I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Lay hands on you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Anybody's welcome to come. Anyone. We're not asking you to come get saved or whatever. Just come. If you want prayer, just come. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sweet people. God says you're sweet people. You know that? God says you're very sweet people. He loves you so much. That's what God wants you to hear. Now, he loves you so much. Praise God. He will make himself vulnerable by sharing himself with you. In you. He'll go to great risk of us trampling his blood underfoot and turning our back. He will do that, praise God. You know, sometimes in courting and so forth, and somebody hurts us and tramples on us, and we opened up to them, and we let them know our innermost being, and then they do us like that. God's willing. God's willing to share himself with you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.